Hi, welcome to SNR TV and the Coffee Break with Trace Williams. I'm Trace Williams. Today we're going to be talking about the false prophet being destroyed. Are we seeing the systematic destruction of centralized religion? Let's take a look at what is transpiring in our religious sect, not only in this country, but worldwide. Let's not only look at it, but let's try to decipher whether it's a justified action or not. Before we get into it, we're gonna start with in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 10, and then we're gonna move forward and we're gonna lay some groundwork. I do use a Geneva Bible. Online, I use a 1599 version. In book form, I use a 1560 version. And if you wish to follow along, I'll put scripture on the screen, courtesy of goodbooksfree.com. You can also follow along or read your own by visiting their website and selecting the Geneva Bible 1599. So here we go, 2 Timothy, first chapter, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from mine elders with pure conscience. Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, desiring to see thee, mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am assured that it is that dwelleth in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up that gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, neither of me as his prisoner, but partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us through Christ Jesus before the world was, but is now made manifest, that appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life, immortality unto light through the gospel. See, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to his understudy, his son, Timothy. It's a guide of how Timothy should go on to teach the gospel after Paul's death. And the first thing we see here is the emotion of Paul concerning Timothy. It's that of love and joy. He's saying, I know you're going to be sad when you come, but it'll still give me joy to see you. Paul lets Timothy know that he is an object of Paul's prayer always. And he speaks of how Timothy's faith is unwavering, and as was his mother's and his grandmother's. And remember, stir up that faith, stir up that gift of God, put my hands on, do my work. God didn't give us fear, he gave us the power of love. He gave us power and sound mind. And because of those gifts, don't be ashamed or embarrassed of the testimony of Jesus. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed because I'm a prisoner for teaching this testimony. Nor be ashamed or embarrassed that I'm under the Lord's captivity as well, his authority. I'm a prisoner, and I'm a prisoner for what I believe, and I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. You're going to go through some things. Get through them. Harmonizing, aligning with that power of God which is in you. You have God with you. You have great power to get through the afflictions that you will suffer, because you have God and the power of God with you. Verse 9 is the why, and it's because he saved you. He called you with a holy calling. He didn't call you because you're good or to give you the limelight. He didn't call you for your purpose. It's not your purpose. He called you for his purpose, his grace, his glory. This all given to you, to us, through Jesus, even before the world began. The gift has now been shown in the coming of Jesus, the Christ, who has ended death, shown us life forever, has shown us immortality. He did this through the gospel, through his testimony. It came through his life, death, and resurrection. That's his gospel. That's his testimony. Now, I'm going to get to the destruction of the centralized religion shortly, but again, I wanted to lay some groundwork so we can keep things in the proper perspective with accurate context. Again, I don't want you to believe me either. I want you to do your own research. I'm just here to explain what I see transpiring around us globally. So if you would, just bear with me. I don't regurgitate others' works. I base all of my information on documentation. I read what is written, and I don't read what is taught that is written. I read what is there, not what somebody tells me is there. And I want you to do that for yourself. And I research things, how things come about, things like the different Bibles, for example. And I, like we should, base my opinions on my findings. And I guess with that being said, that takes care of my disclaimer. Don't believe me, do your own research and find out what you believe, why. Now, with that being said, let's move on into verses 11 through 18. And obviously, Paul's still writing, and he goes on to say that he's an appointed preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. He's appointed, chosen, and an apostle, an active participant in the cause, and a teacher. And because of this, he suffers. He's afflicted, but not ashamed, not embarrassed. Paul knows the promise in store for him, and he knows that Jesus is able to keep that promise. Through whatever affliction that Paul, you know, is going through, or we're going through for that matter. You know, Paul's in prison right now for what he believes in and for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's where he's writing this letter from, is prison. And he's saying he knows that he committed, he knows who he committed to. He knows who he's listened to. He knows that Jesus will fulfill that promise upon that day. He's also saying, Timothy, I've been convinced that you are ready to carry on what I've started. I give to you my works and my blessings. Continue what I've started. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. He's saying to Timothy, I know who I learned from, and I know who can carry out what I've started. I know who trusts me, and I know I can trust you. I know that you can carry on the work of sharing that testimony and endure until that day, judgment day. So Timothy, he goes on to say, keep the true pattern of the wholesome words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That worthy thing which was committed to thee, keep through the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep the wholesome words about faith and love found in Jesus. Keep the gospel, for it is worthy, and keep it through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which lives within us. This so far is a letter of encouragement from a father to a son. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned from me, of which sort are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Know that all Asia turned away from me. He's telling Timothy that this stuff happens. But when this stuff happens, there are also ones to turn to in those times to help you rejuvenate. Onesiphorus was one of those for me, he's saying. He wasn't ashamed of me when the others were trying to beat me down, when they imprisoned me. Verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was at Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy with the Lord at that day. And in how many things hath ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. What he's saying is, don't forget to place blessings and give thanks to those who help you, those who encourage you, those who may even mentor you. You're probably asking, how does this correlate with what is happening today? Are the pastors of the day teaching the gospel as it was intended, as it's written? Have the pastors of the day been preaching for the glory of self or the glory of God? Or the glory of system, for that matter? I'm not saying that all preachers are bad. Not in any respect am I saying that. But just some questions I have that we may find answers to in this letter from Paul to Timothy to identify the works of the preachers of the day. If we look at what is happening with these preachers of the day, again, they're stepping down at a pretty quick clip. My questions are why and what's next for the church? There seems to be many people now turning away from these teachers and preachers, searching for the truth on their own. They know something's not right. So many people are now looking outside that system to find the truth. Are they conspiracy theorists? Are they extremists? Are they rebels? I don't know. I just think they're looking outside the system for truth. I did that and found that not always what I've been taught was always true. Not always was taught with evil intent, yet it was taught from the religious system. Let me give you an example of what I mean. You and I go to the same school, and we learn together that 1 + 1 = 5, and that's the way it is. 1 + 1 = 5. And you go forward in your studies and continue to know that 1 + 1 = 5. I say that there's something wrong with that. So I look outside the system and I find proof and I determine that 1 + 1 isn't 5. 1 + 1 is actually 2. So I come back and I tell you what I found. However, you don't believe me because you're further stuck in the system than I. Therefore, you defend the system and the ones who taught you because of your respect for both. I respect the man who taught what he was teaching you. He was taught to teach you this for his job. And he did a great job teaching you what he was taught. And you go on and you pass your tests and prove your worthiness to get that certification that you'd been working on so hard for so long. I respect that. But because I went against that system, I'm labeled as a conspiracy theorist, a rebel, an extremist, so forth. I don't know what I'm talking about. And that's okay. Sometimes I wonder why, and I think it's because when I went out of the system searching for the truth, and I'm getting outside of my story here. So let's get back into my story. Because I went out of the system searching for truth, and you go on to be a success, teaching and defending the system. So your reputation is inherently better than mine because you're certified. I'm just nuts. Like you, a lot of pastors mean well. They're just stuck in the system. But is that system ready to fall? Are we seeing signs of it now? What is the future? Who's in control of the system? Are the warnings of Paul in this letter that's upcoming, there's a sneak peek, are they coming true today? Well, we'll find out as we continue tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue through the letter to Timothy. And you can join us again tomorrow at 7 on SNR TV, and you can find us on Roku, Fire TV, and Apple TV devices, or you can visit our website at snrtv.sunshineandrain.com. That's snrtv.sunshineandrain.com. And you can watch live at 7. You can check it out in video on demand afterwards. You can also find it on our audio on demand by clicking the audio on demand button. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us on SNR TV and the Coffee Break with Trace Williams. And I am Trace Williams reminding you, please, live in peace, love, joy. Dare to step outside the system to find truth. It is the only way to live, folks. And until next time, God bless and have a great evening, everybody.